I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Knowledgeable.
Listen, here's what's wrong with your hypothesis, your theorem, your supposition, your postulate.
Honest.
If that front ain't in gangsta, your back end won't be able to show its full potential.
Understanding.
You're going to suck. You're going to suck for the next couple of years.
Passionate.
I'm all over social media. I live it.
This is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Hashtag facts.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Now, here's Kevin.
Let's go back this play. Watch one of the coaches for Brooklyn, that's David Vanderpool, actually touch the ball, which is not allowed.
You asked me if he may have touched it. There's no may have. He did. My reaction was utter disbelief. I've never seen in my very long time in basketball something happen like that that the referees didn't see. Nobody's perfect and the mistakes will be made. I get that. But I think in a game like this, with the bench conduct being a point of emphasis this year, that it's very hard to swallow them missing something like that for me. I do understand that regardless, there's tons of things we could have done better in the game and it should have never came down to us complaining about something like that. But I will say that, you know, this is the best league in the world. Have to be better than that. And nothing against that referee, quite frankly. I think he's a good referee and a really good person. I was just kind of in disbelief. Like I said, I've never seen nothing like that ever. And to be standing there as a head coach to try to deal with it at the time was kind of like, oh my gosh, did I really just see that?
Morning. Welcome in the Kevin Sheehan Show minus Kevin today. Scott Jackson here with you. That was Joseph Blair, the second interim coach of your Washington Wizards. He's never seen anything like that, folks. And keep in mind, he played for the Harlem Globetrotters. You can't tell me the Generals didn't get screwed by the refs once or twice in something more audacious than that. I mean, come on. I mean, they had guys that go in the crowd. They dress up like refs. They throw confetti on you. I mean, come on. He's seen something crazier than that, but maybe not. But nonetheless, that was part of the Wizards' loss last night to the Nets by the final of 119 to 118. Kevin today is off. He'll be back with you tomorrow. You know, look, they do this. There's big storms or the potential for big storms. They call in the heavy hitters, as you guys know, listening to this program for many, many years. Kevin is a self-proclaimed meteorologist. And he gets pulled in, you know, the big think tank, you know, what to do with the school systems. And clearly, Kevin's got some angry moms today who are going to miss yoga class because he blew the forecast. I mean, it's raining outside. Brendan Dar tells me nothing, right? Just rain? Is that it? That's all we got here? You went into two states and it's all you saw was rain? You didn't see any snow? No ice?
All I saw was rain. However, I was informed that the rain would be going until about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and then we'd see heavy snow from 8 to 10.
Okay. All right. We're going to hold
We'll see if the forecast is true.
Yeah, we're going to hold Kevin and his colleagues to that forecast. And again, if not, you know, send the hate mail to at Kevin Sheehan DC on the Twitter. Because again, he's part of this think tank of groups that decide they really influence the school systems and what have you. You know, it's interesting. I find it a lot of times, and I'm a big Doug Kammer fan. I know Doug, and he'll often like tell you ahead of time what he thinks the schools will do, and they always follow through on what he says. It's fascinating. We never had an advocate like that when I grew up in this area. Like Gordon Barnes, Bob Ryan, they weren't telling the school systems what to do. They were just putting the forecast out the table. I mean, these guys are influencers now, and Sheehan's part of that group. So. Anyway, let's get to the Wizards. So they lost last night, and I know had you caught, you know, some of this in the post game, they went over this Blair, this you know, Joseph Blair got his piece on it. The second interim head coach, thanks to COVID, no Wes Unseld Jr. again last night. David Vanderpool, Silver Springs own Montgomery Blair High School. You know, 22 games as a Wizard. I'm not afraid to admit I covered did the postgame show. You know, Lee and Maurice, my two callers each night, know who I'm talking about. the 19-63 Wizards. David Vanderpool was on Leonard Hamilton's squad for 22 games. I think it was 210 days, and they picked him up for the rest of the season or something like that. Anyway, yeah, he definitely touched the ball. I mean, clearly he thought the ball was going out of bounds. I don't think he did that for the hell of it or just to be a jerk with 5.5 to go or 5:45 to go, thinking it was going to be a key part of the game. But, you know, it's a one-point game, so it looks really big. But, look, if you watch this game from the jump, you know, the Wizards came out with the – you know, the NBA Las Vegas Summer League approached the defense in the first half. And actually, that's insulting to the Summer League guys who are actually hoping to God to play in the NBA someday. All right, we'll go like Urban Coalition level of defense last night and one tape level of defense. How about that? You know, in the first half. So despite what you may have heard, if you didn't watch the first half and you just, moral victory night. Yay, moral victory. Kevin Durant, kind of a significant player. He wasn't there. He wasn't there. He didn't play last night. He wasn't on the floor. And you got Kyrie part-time Irving lighting you up. I mean, by the way, I thought this was bonkers when I first heard about it, but witnessing the way he plays, even part-time, okay. Fine. All right, you got me. It works. Greatest, and I mean the greatest Players Association in the history of Players Associations, NBA Players Association. Dude's getting full salary, even when he wasn't playing. I mean, you know, ask John Wall how good it is. I mean, he's not going to play. Why would you? I mean, you can't give away that kind of coin. But, you know, Kyrie Irving playing just road games. And again, they were a great road team prior to him becoming a road-only player. And it is weird. I get it. Their home record's only one game above 500, but they're 16-5 away from home. Now, here's the problem. If they actually were to, like, say, win the East, right, let's just play this out and go to the finals and play, I don't know, the Warriors, he wouldn't be able to play in any of the games. Assuming, you know, the world is the same, you know, in June as it is today, which hopefully, please, let it not be. But anyway, this, you know, Kyrie Irving still got it, even playing part-time, you know. I know everybody hates James Harden's game outside of the James Harden, you know, mafia, but he's savvy. He was not great last night. He had a lot of turnovers. Didn't make a three-pointer, right? And they were still cooking. They were still cooking, despite all that, talking about the Nets, because the Wizards came out with the worst approach to defense. You know, I've seen them in quite some time. 74 first-half points to the Nets. Hey, they played better in the second half, but you saw the toll it took. I mean, Bradley Beal was gassed. You know, everybody seemed to be tired. They did a hell of a job to cut it after being down by 16 to get that last-second opportunity. Kuzma misses one, then Dinwiddie misses one. I would just love to see one game in the next, I don't know, 2 to 3 weeks where Dinwiddie and Beal both are getting it going offensively. We just haven't seen it. It's been frustrating at times to watch, but nonetheless, I like the team. I like the makeup of it. They played too many players last night. And I get it. You got, you know, again, your second interim coach. 11 guys in an NBA rotation is not, that doesn't work. I mean, unless you're winning by 20. You know, unless you're killing somebody. I just don't see how that works. And Bertans, you know, despite the fact that they are in desperate need of somebody to knock down a three-pointer on a consistent basis, he seems to be the odd guy out here. And it's weird because you're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, they got a trade deadline coming up. Why don't you just move Bertans? Well, his value could not be any sorrier than it is right now. So, outside of being injured. So, the trade deadline's the 10th. I really don't think you can do anything about it. So, you kind of are in this weird place right now where you got to suck it up and keep them. But they finished last night with a interesting combo. You know, the starting guards of Dinwiddie and Beal, not shocking there. And they had Kuzma, KCP, you're like, okay, that's the starters. No, but then they have Harrell. Harrell is the finisher, you know, as your closer. Daniel Gafford played 12 minutes last night. He had 8 points and 3 rebounds, but played just 12 minutes. You know, there's been some interesting things that have happened over the last week with this team. Of course, there was one game where Avdija played 3 minutes, You know, he was back, you know, in a normal rotation last night. He played almost 23 minutes in the game. Actually, he was really good, too. He was part of the bench that helped them chop away this lead. You know, Rui Hachimura had a really nice game in 17 minutes. He had 14 points. He was really good off the bench. Got some good minutes from Thomas Bryant, you know, who's just getting his feet wet, getting back in there. You know, Kispert. I mean, their second unit was really good, and Harrell's part of that. And then, of course, blended in with the first unit as they finished the game. I'm just trying to figure out, like, where they go from here. You know, obviously they have till the 10th to figure all this stuff out. I mean, Harrell is obviously important to them, but he's also on an expiring contract. And I know a month and a half ago, he's the most popular guy in D.C. among athletes, it felt like. But, I mean, there is really, I mean, I think there is truth to the noise that he could be one of the, quote, odd men out, you know, here. I mean, he could be the guy they trade in Tommy Shepard trades. And if you watch the postgame, I mean, and again, this was interesting. Everybody on the postgame agreed they have to make a trade. They have to move somebody from here. And I assume you're saying then they're just getting picks back, because if you say they have too many players in the rotation, if you're moving a rotation player, you're not bringing in more rotation players, are you? That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. So it seems like you're moving guys for future assets or for, you know, for cap relief and those kind of things. It doesn't seem like you're going to be bringing in somebody else, but maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe it's a two for a one guy. I don't know what they end up doing. But it does seem like they've got too many big suddenly. And, you know, it would probably will happen if you follow the history of this franchise, Bullets Wizards, is they'll trade one of the guys, and then they'll have an injury, and then they'll be short of the position. But whoever's there, they got to play better defense early. I mean, remember, it wasn't that long ago that LaMarcus Aldridge was, like, retired, right? Well, dude came out of the YMCA and lit up the Wizards last night for 27. I still don't think they figured out, you know, how to defend him. 27 for him in 32 minutes, 11 to 15. We already talked about Kyrie, part-time Kyrie cooking with 30 last night. You know, on a night where Harden wasn't very good for Harden standards, you know, 7 to 21 and 18 points. And again, no KD. And they still put up 119 points on you. That's got to drive you a little bonkers if you're Joseph Blair and your lone head coaching gig. In the NBA, you see David Vanderpool make a tip play out of bounds, which is a technical, by the way. So it could have been a big deal, you know. And then you see your team play just an atrocious first half of defense. Second half was good. I mean, they played, you know, cut the Nets down to 45 points, you know, after they shot 63% in the first half. There was really one way to go. You would have thunk, unless they had absolutely zero pride. I did see some good things from the second unit. But like I said, they're still... I mean, game for the Wizards, game 45 out of 82. Still kind of like, all right, what's the rotation going to look like? Still feels like they're trying to figure stuff out here this late in the season now that they have everybody back. And you kind of figured that was going to be the curse of getting everybody back, you know, is you were going to have this almost, you know, it's a good problem, I guess. But it's also, you know, can be... a thing that holds a team back if you don't have the right rotation as you're trying to move forward here in the Eastern Conference. And right now, you know, they're in that space that's not fun, which is the, oh my God, you know, you're going to be in this stupid play-in game again. I mean, that's the space you're in right now. I mean, you went from, the over joyous thoughts and unrealistic thoughts that this team could be a top 3-4 team in the beginning of the year when they get off to that outrageous start, to now you're like, oh crap, now they've settled into that 7-10 area. You know, really they're at 8 right now, and they're a couple games back of Charlotte at this point, because the Hornets have actually played really well lately. They've won 7-10. Somehow, some way, you know, the Cavaliers are still up in that spot. They had won, I think it was like 6 in a row prior to last night's loss to the Bulls. I mean, I don't know how the hell they're doing it. They just keep losing people and keep winning. They were trying to have their longest win streak since LeBron, you know, left the second time. They were trying to win 6 in a row, but they lost to Chicago last night. But they're still up there. There's still a lot of ball to be played, but that's why this next few weeks are very important for the Wizards once they figure out what they're going to do. And look, Tommy Shepard's done an amazing job. They got to get out of jail free card with this Westbrook trade. I say it over and over again. I'm not banging on these guys for what they did. I like the process. They just got to They still got a ways to go to finish it off. And of course, you know, as it is, because we're near a trade deadline, the LeBron stalker, Brian Windhorst has a story about Bradley Beal and the trade deadline. We'll get into that here in a little bit. And whether or not, you know, this, I feel like this is like the little boy that cried wolf at this point. We keep talking about the potential for a Bradley Beal trade, or whether he wants to be here, doesn't want to be here, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but Bradley's put out some things lately that I obviously, you know, have added some weight to it. So I can see why it is a story again. But it does almost seem like there's this disbelief outside of Washington this guy would actually want to stay here. You know, there's like this disbelief from anybody who doesn't cover the franchise or follow Bradley Beal or know, you know, his career that, oh, God, there's no way he's going to stay there. I mean, he's definitely going to want to go be a Laker, right, or want to be a Knick, or, you know, pick your big market that you're dying to be significant and irrelevant again as an NBA writer because you want to go there during the playoffs and cover the games. Got to go to Miami. You know, wants to be on South Beach because I do. You know, it is like that's how the league is covered by some of these sycophants that are, you know, giving press credentials. But anyway, so one of the positives from last night for the Wizards, they actually, the transition defense is pretty good. I mean, look, the half court defense sucked for a full half, but they held the Nets to zero fast break points last night, which was interesting in a game. They've actually done that five times this year, which has obviously been a point of emphasis that has actually hit home. And, you know, that's certainly a good thing to see. But again, it was way too casual. The lane was just way too easy in the end ones. A lot of fouling in that first half too from the Wizards. Put them in this hole as they go down to the Nets last night by the one-point game. And Kuzma had a good look. Dinwiddie was kind of a scramble. Good job by Trez to punch it out to him, tip it out to him, and got the shot up, but didn't make it. Would have been great for him if he would have knocked that down. On a night where he was, look, I mean, you know, he's sacrificed. There's no question he's had a sacrifice. And Beal, by the way, is the points pretty good. He's a playmaker. Like, that's the underrated part about Bradley at times, is he's actually a really good playmaker. Now, we're going to talk about the money that he could make here over these next few seasons. And the Wizards, look, the Wizards have not tried to telegraph this. They're not trying to, you know, play games here. I mean, they want Bradley Beal here. So we'll get into that coming up. The report about the Wizards and potential trade deals. Also trouble in Lakerland. That always makes me happy. The week the Cowboys are eliminated from the playoffs, there's a problem in Lakerland. Duke lost in overtime. I mean, it is like awesome. The Yankees, well, they're kind of irrelevant now. But anyway, you get the point. All right, we'll get to that coming up. Scott Jackson in for Kevin Sheehan, who's out helping the weather gods figure out what the roads are going to look like today. And if your kids got out of school, blame Sheehan, and you're going to miss out on your yoga class. Sorry about that, but Kevin's the reason your snotty-nosed kid's going to be at home. We'll get to more on the NBA coming up. Scott Jackson in here. Team 980, the Odyssey app.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.